raising a godly child. I'd like to wish every mom a happy Mother's Day. If you're not a mom, you have a mom. And whether they've passed on or whether they're still living, you can honor your mother by living for God. And the Bible says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. And if you're walking in truth, you can bring great joy to your mom, and especially to the Lord. So I'd just like to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day for our moms. And then the title of the message is Raising a Godly Child. If you'd like to find your place in Psalms 78, Psalms chapter 78. Whose responsibility is it to teach the next generation? Whose responsibility is it to teach our children? Well, I can tell you one thing, it's not the government's job. It's not society's responsibility. It's definitely not the university's job. And it definitely does not take a village to raise or teach a child. Raising a godly child is the responsibility of parents. Psalm 78 is a psalm for the family. As a parent, as a father, as a mom, it's our duty to teach our children about the Lord. And if we don't do it, no one else is going to do it. God commands us to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As a parent, we have a God-given duty to introduce our children to God. Hey, it's our duty to instruct them as to what God has done for them, as to what God expects from them. I've heard parents say, and I'm not going to force my beliefs on my child. I'm going to let them make their own decisions. Well, my friend, that's exactly what your children are going to do. But where you're wrong, and where these people are wrong that believe that, is that someone else is going to influence their child. Parents could have influenced them for what's right, but their children will wind up listening to someone else. And now those very same parents that refuse to be involved in raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord are going to reap what they did not sow. Jonathan Edwards, one of the most famous sermons that he preached was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. God used Jonathan Edwards in a mighty way to ignite one of the very few genuine revivals that took place in the U.S. But he didn't only preach to his congregation, he preached to his family as well. He took the time to invest in his children and to his family. A study revealed that of his direct descendants, 14 of them became college presidents. 101 became college professors. 106 became ministers or missionaries. And 108 became lawyers and doctors. During this same time, on the other hand, there was a man named Jacob Jukes. Jacob Jukes mocked Jonathan Edwards. He mocked at the revival that was taking place. And here's what happened to his family. 400 were physically self-incapacitated. That is, they lost limbs or were otherwise unable to function due to inflictions from fights and brawls and other things like that. 310 became professional paupers. 60 became thieves, and 7 were convicted of murder. Only 20 became tradesmen, and 10 of those 20 learned their trade while serving in prison. Jonathan Edwards embraced the Word of God, and he taught it to his children. Jacob Jukes mocked the things of God, and the fruit of both men is apparent. If we don't influence our children and our grandchildren, then someone else will. And then one day, we're going to ask ourselves, what happened? And the answer is going to be, nothing happened. We did not train up our children in the way that they should go. Here in Psalm 78, God reminds us of the importance of raising a godly seed. Let's begin reading in Psalm 78 and verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was no steadfast with God. If America is going to change, then we must reach this generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does Psalm 78 teach us? Hey, it's a hymn for the home. This psalm reminds us to teach our children, to teach the next generation. The number one responsibility of each parent or grandparent is that our children and grandchildren know God's Word. It's imperative for them to understand that the key to success in this life is to know Jesus as their personal Savior, to love Him, and to be obedient to Him. I'd like for us to look at some principles that are found in Psalm 78 on how to raise a godly child. First, let's notice the danger of not teaching our children the Word of God. Oh, there's a grave danger in not instructing our children according to God's Word. There's a grave danger in not raising our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we see this danger, this result of not teaching our children the Word of God. We find it in verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Verse 8 gives us the results of not teaching children and grandchildren the Word of God. Hey, I thank God for the godly moms and grandmothers in our congregation. Hey, I've witnessed firsthand the burden that they have for their children and their grandchildren. Many have already told me that they're trying to get their children to allow their grandchildren to come to VBS this year. Hey, these ladies have a God-given burden to get their children under the sound of the gospel. You know, today in America, we're reaping what we did not sow. Across the board, parents have failed to instruct their children in the Word of God. Parents have failed to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The reason is that the parents do not know the Lord. Turn on the news, and what are you going to see? Look at all these young people that are looting. They're beating others. They're stabbing. They're killing others. They're carrying guns and These young people have no regard for authority in their lives. But these young people are someone's children. They're someone's grandchildren. I dare to say that none of those who are involved in such activities are saved. For the majority of them, no one taught them the Word of God. Hey, these people are not on their knees at night praying and reading their Bible. They're not attending Sunday school and attending preacher's service on a regular basis. Someone has failed these young people. Someone left them to their own self. Proverbs 29:15 says, "A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Hey, the shame is not on the child, but on the mother who failed to train up the child in the ways of God. No one raised them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then we see the result of not raising a godly seed. Right here it is, verse 8. "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Hey, outside of the Word of God, outside of the ways of God, there's only stubbornness and rebellion, and a generation that will not set their heart aright. I understand that at some point our children grow up and they make their own choices. But if they choose a wrong course for their life, it should be because they had to hurdle over years of being taught the Word of God. It shouldn't be easy for them to go down that path. The second principle that I'd like for us to look at, found in Psalm 78, is the goal in raising a godly seed. Hey, there's a goal. There's a reason for this. Look at verse 7. "That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." The only hope for this generation and the generation to come is that they set their hope in God. Hey, there is no hope outside of God. There's no hope for the future generations either if they don't know the Lord. Children should be instructed in the greatness of God. I think about the children's song. "My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you." Hey, where do children learn about the greatness of God? Hey, it's going to be through God's Word. Let's look at Psalm 78 here in verses 1 through 4. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." Hey, we will not raise a godly seed if all our children here is complaining. We will not raise a godly seed if all our children are influenced by the worldliness of a mom and dad. Hey, we will not raise a godly seed if mom and dad are not walking close to the Lord. Hey, if the TV or the internet's raising a child, then they will not turn out a godly seed. Verse 3 of Psalm 78, it says, "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us."
The psalm begins by encouraging us to continue the tradition of passing on the record of God's marvelous works from one generation to another. Hey, you want to know why America's in the mess it's in? Somebody failed to pass on the truth of God's Word to the next generation. Hey, in verse 1, the psalmist is calling all parents to attention. Verse 1 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." Hey, in modern terminology, he's shouting out, saying, "Don't touch that remote. Don't click off that page." Hey, for you texters out there, he's using all caps and he's not angry. He's saying, pay attention. This is some important stuff right here that you need to know. These instructions found in Psalm 78 are words of truth. They're words of wisdom. They are the words of God. Look at verse 2. It says, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." This verse is prophetic of Jesus, who spake using many parables. You know, when my children were smaller, we would explain to them the truths of God's Word in words that they could understand, that they could relate to. They would memorize the Scripture, and we would explain to them what the verse meant. And Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." I think about that little lad that presented his lunch to Jesus. I think about what he understood. He understood that little is much when the Lord is in it. He understood the greatness of God. He was not playing around when Jesus was teaching that day. No, that young man was paying attention to what Jesus was saying. I'm telling you, this modern day Christianity thinks that children have to be entertained. Hey, no, children need preaching. A 5-year-old boy or girl can sit in a service and pay attention to God's Word. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A 5-year-old can understand that they've broken the law of God, and that only God can forgive them of their sin. These young people can understand that Jesus took their punishment on the cross for them. Verse 3, it says, "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Hey, the best way for a child to learn about God, oh, is through a mom and dad teaching them. Hey, there's a natural trust between a mom and a dad and their children. And if parents fail to instruct their children about the greatness of God, then let me ask you, who will? God says it's the parents' responsibility to do that. Verse 3 again. "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Sunday school, church services, Christian schools, VBS, youth groups, all these things are good. But God expects parents to raise a godly child. To neglect to teach our children the Word of God is to deprive them of God's precious truth. The truth about Himself. The truth about life. The truth about the children. The truth about eternal life. Verse 4 says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." Verse 4 says that parents should be praising God for His works in front of their children. Hey, if children don't hear it from mom and dad, then who are they going to hear it from? And don't expect them to do it if it's not being done at home. The third principle in raising a godly child is to teach them to know and trust God's Word. Look at verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. You see, it's not just the parents' responsibility to their children there and to trust in God's Word. These verses tell us that grandparents are to be involved as well. We have to take the time to raise our children to know and trust God's Word. You know, there's some people that cannot wait for their children to get out of the house so that they can just live for themselves. They have so many goals set for them, for themselves, as soon as the child will leave the house. Well, God says it's your responsibility to instruct your children and grandchildren. And that responsibility is never over. We teach our children about the Lord so that they might come to know the Lord personally. We keep on teaching them about the Lord so that they'll come to know how to walk with Him. And the best way for them to learn that is by example. Moms and dads living and walking in the light of God's Word. The Bible says we are to teach our children in order that they might have hope in God. Rather than being beaten down by the storms of life and the chaos of culture. If we don't teach them, then who will? If we don't teach them and raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, then someone's going to influence them. And I promise you, you don't want society influencing your children when it comes to the things of the Lord. And if we don't influence them, then who will? The devil will. He's a roaring lion. He's an adversary, seeking whom he may devour. Going back to our opening comparison between Jonathan Edwards, who raised a godly seed according to God's Word, and Jacob Jukes, who did not care about the things of God. All children deserve a godly mom and dad who love Jesus, who love God's Word, and who will raise them to set their hope in God. Unfortunately, those parents have become the exception and not the rule. Grandparents, you owe it to God to continue instructing your children and grandchildren in the Word of God. Maybe you did not raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Maybe you were not saved when you were raising your children. Well, God commands you to teach your grandchildren. Maybe you were an absentee parent when it comes to teaching your children the Word of God. Well, hey, start all over. Pick it back up. Don't give up. Because with God, there's hope. The goal for raising a godly child is that they might set their hope in God. And not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And then pass it on to their children. May the Lord help us.